Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Happiness and Resilience by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. What's the hurry? The practice, avoid the rush. Why? As I was meditating one morning, our cat hopped up onto my lap. It felt sweet to sit there with him. And yet, even though I was feeling fine and had plenty of time, there was this internal pressure to start zipping along with emails and calls and all the other clamoring minutiae of the day. You see the irony. We rush about as a means to an end, as a method for getting results in the form of good experiences, such as relaxation and happiness. Hanging out with our cat, I was afloat in good experiences. But the autopilot inside the coconut still kept trying to suck me back into methods for getting relaxation and happiness, as if I weren't already feeling that way. And of course, by jumping up and diving into doingness, I'd break the mood and lose the relaxation and happiness. That is the point of doingness. Sometimes we do need to rush. Maybe you've got to get your kid to school on time, or your boss really has to have that report by the end of the day. Okay. But much of the time, we rev up and race about because of unnecessary internal pressures, like unrealistic standards for ourselves, or because external forces are trying to hurry us along for their own purposes, not because of our needs. How do you feel when you're rushing? Perhaps there's a bit of positive excitement, but if you're like me, there's mostly, if not entirely, a sense of tension, discomfort, and anxiety. This kind of stress isn't pleasant for the mind, and over time, it's really bad for the body. Plus, there's a loss of autonomy. The rush is pushing you one way or another, rather than you deciding yourself where you want to go and at what pace. Instead, how about stepping aside from the rush as much as you can and into your own well-being, health, and autonomy? How? For starters, be mindful of rushing, your own and others. See how other people assume deadlines that aren't actually real or get time pressured and intense about things that aren't that important. And yes, you get to decide for yourself what you think is real or important. Notice the internal shoulds or musts, or simply habits that speed you up. Then, when the demands of others bear down upon you, buy yourself some time. What psychologist and Buddhist teacher Tara Brach calls the sacred pause. In order to create a space in which you are free to choose how you will respond. Are you letting the rushing of others become your own? Slow down the conversation, ask questions, and find out what truly is true. Consider the sign I once saw at a car repair shop. Your lack of planning is not my emergency. On your own side of the street, try not to create emergencies for yourself. You can get a lot done at your own pace without rushing. Plan ahead and don't procrastinate until you're forced into hurrying. More fundamentally, be realistic about your own resources. It's a kind of modesty, a healthy humility, to finally admit to yourself, and maybe others, that you can't carry 5 quarts in a 1 gallon bucket. There are 168 hours in a week, not 169. Also, it's a kind of healthy renunciation, relinquishment, to set down the ego, drivenness, appetite, or ambition that overcommits and sets you up for rushing. And it's a matter of seeing clearly what is, a matter of being in reality rather than being confused or, in a sense, deluded. Nkosi Johnson was the South African boy born with HIV who became a national advocate for children with AIDS before dying at about age 12, and not one of us can do more than what he said here. Do all you can with what you have in the time you have, in the place where you are. Also, watch how the mind routinely gets caught up in becoming, in making plans that draw us into desires that draw us into rushing. The trick is to see this is happening before it captures you. Most deeply, try to rest in and enjoy the richness of this moment. Even an ordinary moment, with its sounds, sights, tastes, smells, sensations, feelings, and thoughts, is amazingly interesting and rewarding. Afloat in the present, there's no need to rush along to anything else, even when you don't have a cat in your lap. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Happiness and Resilience by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's another Just One Thing. Is it truly urgent? The practice. Lower the pressure. Why? Things come at us with so much urgency and demand these days. Phones ring, texts buzz, emails pile up. New balls have to be juggled, work days lengthen, and move into evenings and weekends. Traffic gets denser. Financial demands feel like a knife at the neck. Ads and news clamor for attention. Push, 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 push. On top of these external pressures, we deal with internal ones as well. These include all the inner shoulds, musts and have to, like, I got to get this done today or my boss will get mad, or I must not look bad, or I can't leave the house with dishes in the sink. A pushy sub-personality prods us to be better, do better, and have more. Harsh, often unfair self-criticism cracks the whip to keep us going and avoid its lash. Also, we form rigid ideas, often unconscious, of what we just have to be successful, look good, own the right car, etc. We develop similar kinds of insistence about how it needs to be for others or the world. For example, how one's children must do in school, how the country has to be run. Whether the pressure comes from outside or inside us, it activates ancient motivational circuits that use the neurotransmitter dopamine. In a nutshell, dopamine tracks expected results, for example, emails finished, sales goals attained. If the result actually occurs, dopamine rises, which helps us feel relieved, while other neurotransmitter systems, such as natural opioids, give us a sense of pleasure. But here's the catch. On the way to that desired result, dopamine levels sink some, which brings an unpleasant sense of stress, unease, pushing, and pressure. And if we meet delays or roadblocks or flat-out failure, then dopamine plummets, which feels like a disappointment, frustration, even despair. To avoid the pain of dopamine dropping, we drive hard toward our goals, get caught up in wanting and desire. This dopamine system and related but more evolutionarily recent and sophisticated emotions and thoughts layered upon us was very effective in keeping our ancestors alive in the wild. And it works well today to keep us motivated during emergencies or necessary marathons of effort, from finals week in college to long runs of advocacy on behalf of a loved one. But even at best, there is inherent collateral damage of being motivated by need, urgency, and pressure. It narrows the focus to a particular goal in the crosshairs of tunnel vision. It feels tense, contracted, and uncomfortable, and usually triggers the stress response system, whose chronic activation has many negative consequences for long-term health and well-being. Many goals are just not reachable, so we feel bad if we are fixed on attaining them, and even if we do get to the desired result, its gratifications are often less than promised. And in any case, they fade eventually from awareness, like sand slipping through the fingers of consciousness. And, at worst, inner and outer pressures drive us to pursue goals and desires that are bad for us and others. There we are, trying to live up to unrealistic standards, comparing ourselves to others, feeling like we're falling short, putting the work-life balance on tilt, looking for love in all the wrong places, being hard on oneself or others, pushing to the edge of capacity, and sooner or later, running on empty. Wow, enough already. time to ease off the pressure. How? There are lots of ways that you'll hear next to take the pressure off. Just find one or two that you like. There's no pressure in dropping the pressure. Remind yourself that you can act in competent, honorable, and successful ways, even when there is no sense of pressure. You can give yourself over to wholesome aspirations, letting them carry you along with resolve and passion. Staying true to your own North Star without straining and stressing along the way. You can be prudent, love others, rise in your chosen work, and nurture our planet without feeling like there's a stick at your back. When things come at you, phone calls, wants from others, a fevered pace, try to get a sense of a buffer between you and them, a kind of shock absorber, like you are seeing them through the wrong end of a telescope. Slow things down a beat, take a breath, a day. Offer yourself the gift of time. Time to figure out if this is really a priority and when it really needs to get done. Listen to your body. Are you getting that pressed, squeezed, driven feeling again? Listen to your heart, like it's a wise, sweet being who loves you. What's it saying? Be aware of the shoulds and musts muttering or shouting in your mind. Are they really true? And are they really you rather than an internalized parent or another authority figure? What would happen if you dialed back one bit, slowed down by one step, or got one less thing done each day? Let it sink in that there would be no disaster at all. In fact, probably no one but you would ever notice. Be easier on yourself. Lower your standards a smidge. Unless you're doing brain surgery or something similar, you can likely afford to lighten up a little. Be realistic about how long things really take and how often there's a slip between cup and lip in the affairs of mice and men. Try not to make commitments that will be hard to fulfill. Don't write checks with your mouth that your body can't cash. Remember that you are a fundamentally good person. Even if you lower the pressure and a few things get done more slowly or not at all, you are still a good person. Keep coming back to this moment in which things are probably, usually, basically all right. Not perfect, but consider the third Zen patriarch's teaching that enlightenment means, among other things, no anxiety about imperfection. At this moment, you are likely safe enough, fed enough, and loved enough. You can lower the pressure. You're listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. Busy, busy, the practice, rest. Why? This practice is definitely a case of teaching what you need to learn. I've been working through a big bucket of tasks lately with little chance to rest. Sometimes you can really feel what you need to do by feeling what's happening for you when you don't. Don't, that is, ease up, unwind, recharge, put your feet up, take a load off, just fill. Just chill, I'm sorry. Because when you don't rest, you wear out, wear down, and start running on empty. Then you're not much good for anyone else or yourself. But when you get some rest and get more rested, you have more energy, mental clarity, resilience for the hard things, patience, and wholehearted caring for others. How? Tell the truth to yourself about how much time you actually, other than sleep, truly come to rest, not accomplishing anything, not planning anything, not going anywhere. The time when you don't do anything at all, with a sense of relaxation and ease. No stress, no pressure, nothing weighing on you in the back of your mind. No sense of things undone. Utterly at rest. Probably not much time at all if you're like me. Also acknowledge to yourself any unreasonable beliefs or fears about resting. For example, that if you rest, you'll lose your edge, things will fall apart, you'll let people down, others will judge you. Next, commit to what makes sense to you in terms of nudging your schedule a little more in a restful direction, refusing to add new tasks to your own bucket, taking more breaks, or simply helping your own mind be less busy with chatter, complaints about yourself and others, or inner struggles. For example, on first waking, bring to mind your fundamental purpose in life, whatever it is, and rest in the felt knowing of it, in giving yourself over to it, like resting in the warm, cradling current of a great river. At meals, pause for half a minute with your food before you start eating. Be aware of that little space between the end of an inhalation and the beginning of an exhalation, or vice versa. From time to time each day, notice that space and rest into it. When you complete a task, take a break for a few seconds or more before shifting gears to the next one. Promise yourself that you'll take a minute or more each day to sit quietly and remain present with yourself while doing nothing. This is an essential type of meditation. Have real times each day when you truly clock out, no longer on task or accountable to anyone. Encourage your mind to come to rest at least occasionally. Tell yourself you can worry, problem solve, grumble later. The mind brain is like a muscle. For example, using willpower consumes extra glucose, much like lifting weights does, and it needs to stop working sometimes to replenish and rebuild itself. And when you rest, sink into its pleasures, its rewards, and sense them sinking into you, like a warm rain falling on thirsty ground. You've been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. We are so busy these days that it's great to have just one thing to focus on, a simple theme to reflect on and be inspired by. These practices are grounded in brain science, positive psychology, and contemplative training. They are simple and easy to do, and they produce powerful results. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and we hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona. Next.